It's time for Blessed to Play on EWTN Radio, uncovering the role that faith plays in the lives of sports professionals from around the country. And now, here's your host, Ron Meyer.
Fire, score!
My guest today is a priest for the Diocese of Joliet in Illinois, Father Burke Masters, a.k.a. the Baseball Priest, is the author of a book. It's called A Grand Slam for God. And if you're listening, listen to the open of Blessed to Play, we have the call by the announcer when he hit that grand slam as a Mississippi State Bulldog that led that team into the College World Series. But we'll get into that. First, I want to welcome my friend, Father Burke Masters, to Blessed to Play. Father, welcome to the show.
It's good to be with you here today.
Now, let's relive that grand slam because it is part of the opening of the show, as I mentioned, and you're playing for Mississippi State, obviously a top-notch program in NC2A baseball. And first of all, I don't think you were a home run hitter. So going into that at-bat, explain the mindset and explain when you made contact, which we were feeling at that time.
Yes, yeah, so we were down 8-7, top of the ninth inning. We were playing at home, but because it was a tournament, you know, you kind of alternate home and away games. So we were the visitors, and I was already 5-for-5 in this game. And I was 13 for 15 in the tournament at one point. It was unbelievable. I didn't do that in Little League. And so I came up with the bases loaded, top of the ninth inning, one out, again, down by a run. And my thought was, I worked the count to 3-1. I thought, if I take a pitch and they walk me, the game's tied. Because the little negative thought, even though most all of my thought was positive because I was in the zone,
yeah.
I thought if I hit into a double play, the game's over, you know? And so I had this internal conversation. I stepped out of the box and said, no, and the coach gave me the kind of one pitch, one spot sign. If a fastball comes down the middle, swing, you know. And sure enough, Ricky Kimball, who was one of the top pitchers in the country, threw a fastball right down the middle and I swung. And it was one of those, as you said, I wasn't a home run hitter. I think I hit 5 that year. Mm-hmm. And one of the home runs broke the SEC hit record in a career. One broke the Mississippi State hit record in a career. And then this grand slam. And as soon as I hit it, I knew it was gone. And most home runs that I hit barely made it over the fence.
Yeah.
But this one, I knew it sailed far over the left field lounge, which is famous there at Mississippi State. And I dropped the bat. I remember looking at the first base dugout where my teammates were, and they just all went crazy, as did the whole stands. There were about 15,000 people at the game. Floated around the bases. I remember shaking Coach Polk's hand around third base. And as I looked up, my teammates were just waiting at home plate, jumping up and down, and something I'll never forget. And so I'm actually going back to Starkville, Mississippi soon to watch a series of baseball games and do a book signing. And people always say, I remember where I was when you hit that grand slam. It's kind of a legendary moment in Mississippi State history.
Yeah, that is awesome. And you were seeing the ball, obviously like a beach ball at the time, going 5-for-5. But the law of averages, you think you would ground out to second base or something, not hit it over the fence.
I say hitting is such a mental game. And so, you know, when I didn't have to think in those games. So the first game of the series, I was 4-for-5. The next game, I was 2-for-3. And then I was 6-for-6. And then I let off the next game with a hit. So, yeah, in a span of less than 4 games, 13-for-15. But then there were other games, other series, you know, where you go 1-for-15 and the ball looks like a pea coming in, going 150 miles an hour, you know. It's a crazy game.
Blessed to Play, Ron Meyer. We're chatting today with Father Burke Masters. He's a priest in Diocese of Joliet. He's author of the book, A Grand Slam for God. We're talking about his Grand Slam home run, which led Mississippi State into the College World Series in 1990. I think they beat Florida State. That's quite a program in and of itself. And you went to the College World Series, and so you go to Omaha. You didn't win it, but that's such a great experience being part of the College World Series and playing in that tournament.
It was, you know, as a little boy, I'd grow up watching the College World Series and just dreaming about playing in that one day. And when you finally realize that you're there, and that I, you know, I was most valuable player of that tournament to get there. It was just such a fulfilling experience. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we were happy to be there, but we knew that our dream was to win it all. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, that didn't happen. We lost to Georgia the first game. They eventually won that World Series. We beat Georgia Southern the next game. We scored 11 runs in the first inning to break a College World Series record, I think, for most runs in an inning. And then we lost our last game to Stanford, which ironically was one of the three final schools that I visited to. I visited Northwestern, Mississippi State, and was going to go to Stanford. Mm-hmm. But when I visited Mississippi State, you know, Will Clark, Rafael Palmeiro, yeah. Bobby Thigpen, Jeff Brantley, we're all on that 85 team. And it was packed stands. I said, where do I sign? And just had a great 4 years of playing it in Starkville.
So as a kid, and as all of us who played Little League Baseball, obviously our dream is to play in the show, a.k.a. Major League Baseball. And that dream, you know, was close to becoming a reality for you. And you went on after playing at Mississippi State. I think you had a brief stint in the White Sox organization, if I'm not mistaken. But just talk about your dream as a kid, living it out through college and then playing a little bit of pro ball as well.
Yeah, I remember, so my parents grew up in Southern Illinois, so they were diehard Cardinal fans. And when they married, they moved to Joliet, getting closer to Chicago Cubs and Sox land. And so we couldn't be Cub fans growing up with parents who are Cardinal fans. But we would go to Wrigley Field regularly. We loved baseball, and we would just root for anyone that was playing the Cubs, ironically. And I remember going to a game as a little boy saying, I'm going to be on that field one day. And yeah. Like most young boys, I just thought this is my dream. And until, you know, the White Sox told me that your career is over, I really thought I had a legitimate chance of reaching that dream. Mm-hmm. But as I look back on it, I think that Grand Slam moment at Mississippi State was God's way of saying, enjoy this moment. This is your big moment in baseball, mm-hmm. but I've got something better in store for you. And, you know, so I didn't get drafted, signed as a free agent with the White Sox. And what they told me was, they said, Burke, you do everything well, but nothing great. You know, so they rank ball players in five categories. And I would say I was probably a little above average in all five categories, but I didn't excel in anything like hitting the ball 500 feet or running a 4.240, but I was good in everything. But now when I look back, I thank God that I didn't get what I wanted, mm-hmm. because, you know, being a priest now, I wouldn't trade it for all the money in the world. I still love baseball. It's still a part of my life, but it doesn't have that central place in my life like it used to.
Yeah. And we're going to get into that journey in a little while here. You know, the game of baseball, for those of us who played it, it's a game of failure. And if you're really good on the offensive side, obviously you're failing a lot. If you're batting 300, you're failing 7 times out of 10 at the plate. Do you think that sense of dealing with failure, keeping even keeled, did that prepare you for life and also your journey to even transition into even considering the priesthood?
Absolutely. There's so many things that I learned in playing baseball and in practice and preparation and winning and losing in playing with teammates that from many different backgrounds and different personalities. So that's helped me in life to, you know, to strive for excellence. I want to be the best in everything, not in a competitive kind of way. I just want to be the best I can be. Mm-hmm. And so the discipline that I learned in practicing and playing baseball has carried over into my spiritual life, where mm-hmm. I invest time in my prayer and, you know, reading scripture. And so those kind of things have really carried over. You know, as you said, we're going to talk about how I became a priest, but mm-hmm. working as a priest now, and I have a staff of about 90 people between my church and the school, and just learning how to work as a team and play together and, mm-hmm. Understand that we're all different and that's okay. And there's going to be times when we lose, so to speak. There's going to be times when things don't go our way, but it's not the end of the world. And that's probably one of the biggest lessons I learned in life in baseball, that, you know, one team is going to finish, you know, winning the College World Series out of probably 300 and some Division I schools. And so we all can't carry off the trophy, but it doesn't mean it's the end of the world, and life goes on. The sun comes up the next day.
Indeed. Yeah. That sense of being magnanimous. I mean, that's not in conflict with pride. I mean, I think that's what God calls us all to do, right? To give our best, in that sense of pursuit of excellence, no matter what we do, and to the best of our ability. And like you mentioned, we're not always going to win the championship, but life goes on. There's something we have to take away from that that's going to better us as a human being on this earth that we're living in. Now, what's interesting also as we start to get into your journey is that you went to a Catholic high school, but you weren't Catholic. So when you went to Providence Catholic High School, how important was that just to be in the Catholic environment? Did that formation rub off on you, and even considering when you converted later on?
Oh, it did. I went to a Catholic high school because they had the best baseball program in town. And and honestly, they had better academics than the public schools as well. It was just a good fit. But for the first time, I met priests and nuns and the Catholic Church. I went to Mass once a month, maybe a little bit more. And, you know, that formation really intrigued me. You know, I grew up in a Christian home, but really non-practicing. But I saw in the coaches and teachers and even other students there this genuine love for one another that, you know, I think my teachers cared about me in grade school, but there was a different sense in this Catholic environment. And it really attracted me. Like, they had something that I wanted. You know, I was a good baseball player. I was a good student. I had good friends, but I knew that there was something missing in my heart. And when I finally encountered Christ through reading the scriptures and theology courses and going to Mass, I realized, like, he's the one I've been missing in my life. And I couldn't get enough.
Blessed to Play, Ron Meyer. We're chatting with Father Burke Masters, author of the book, A Grand Slam for God. And before we go to the break here, I have to ask you, who was the ball player in your life that you looked up to and as a kid wanted to emulate?
So the two that come to mind, the first one was Mike Schmidt. I remember going to see the Phillies play the Cubs, and he was one of those games where he hit three home runs. And I thought, you know, I became a Phillies fan, actually, and still am to this day. And then the second one for the Cubs would be Ryne Sandberg. A lot of people said that my game kind of followed his. I didn't have his power, but just a good, steady player, even keel. And I just wanted to be like him as on the baseball field. And I've had the opportunity to meet him off the field as well. Just a good, genuine guy.
All right, let's take a break. On the other side, we'll continue our discussion with Father Burke Masters. He's the author of the book, A Grand Slam for God, when Blessed to Play returns after this.
O Lord, you see how everywhere the winds have burst forth and the sea is convulsed with the great violence of the rising waves. Command, we beseech you, you who alone are able, both the winds and the sea. Restore to mankind the true peace of your name, that peace which the world cannot give, and the calm of social harmony. Under your favor and inspiration, may man return to due order, and having overthrown the rule of greed, bring back again as ought to be the love of God, justice, charity toward neighbor, temperance in all desires. May your kingdom come. May all recognize that they are subject to you and must serve you who are truth and salvation, that without you they labor in vain. In your law is reason and fatherly kindness. You are ever at hand with your strength and your copious power to help man to keep it. Life upon earth is a warfare, but you watch the contest and aid man to conquer. The weak you sustain, the victor you crown. Amen.
Welcome back to Bless the Play. Ron Meyer, joined today by Father Burke Masters. If you listen to the first half of the show, you know that, he was a pretty good baseball player. In fact, the opening of Bless the Play, we have the announcer describing his grand slam that led the Mississippi State Bulldogs into the 1990 College World Series. He won the game for the Bulldogs and played some pro ball for a little bit and then got the call. And we're going to talk about how he got the call. All right, so you play minor league baseball and you get into the working world. Something happened during that period of time before you entered Mundelein Seminary in Illinois.
It did. So I worked as an actuary for a short time. I majored in math in college. I love math. And I was making good money as an actuary, but I realized like this wasn't my calling. And so I did some research and I thought I can become a major league general manager. And I got my master's degree from Ohio University and started working in sports management. Started working for the Kane County Cougars, a minor league team here in Illinois. And worked there 4 years, loved it, had a job offer with the Florida Marlins. One of my college roommates had become a major league baseball agent, was looking for a partner in the business. And then my girlfriend invited me to go to Adoration. Mm-hmm. And it was in that time of Adoration, we would go weekly for an hour. And in that silence, I started to hear God's voice, not audibly, but in my heart. And God was saying, I want you to be a priest. And it definitely was a calling because I didn't want to be a priest. It wasn't something I went looking for. But every time I would go to pray, the thought of priesthood would rise to the surface. And so I thought, God, if you want me to be a priest, you have to make it clear. And so people started coming up to me saying, you know, I think you'd make a good priest. And mm-hmm. I believe God speaks to us in our hearts through prayer, but he also speaks to us through other people. And it was like, if I can use a basketball analogy, he was putting the full court press on me. And so eventually I thought, okay, God, I'll give it a try. I'll go to seminary for 1 year and I don't think I'm going to like it. And then I'll go back to Stephanie, my girlfriend, and our plans together. And I entered Mundelein Seminary in 1997. Mm-hmm. And I just felt this overwhelming peace when I entered. I thought, This is what God has created me to do.
Yeah. So I want to get a little bit real about this because it might be a young man listening to this show. When you went into the seminary, did you still have doubts as you went along? Is it, or you had this overwhelming consolation that I'm going to be a priest, I'm going to be a priest. Talk about that journey and some of the, maybe the conflicts that have happened in your life during that time.
Yeah, it's a great question. Even though I felt overwhelming peace when I entered, my mother was diagnosed with cancer at the end of my first year. So seminary for me was a 5-year process. And my mother died after my first year of seminary. And I went through a faith crisis. I remember when we buried her, I was hoping to see, you know, her soul rising or see angels or something. And I saw nothing. And I really came into this kind of existential doubting, like, God, are you real? I'm giving you my life as a priest, and now you take my mother, the closest person to me in my life. And so I was really close to giving up on the church, on God, on the priesthood, everything. But little by little, God was showing me that he was with me. One quick example was my mother appeared to me in a dream a couple months after she died, and people can say it was just a dream, but I know God was speaking to me. My mother was about She died at age 57, which is young. But in this dream, she was about 25, beautiful as ever. She was rocking a baby in her arms. And I have two older brothers that are living, another brother that was stillborn. Mm-hmm. And I believe that was my brother that I'd never met. And in this dream, she looked at me with this beautiful smile and she said, Burke, heaven is real, Jesus is real, and don't stop what you're doing. It was like she knew, you know, I was ready to throw in the towel. And honestly, after that, there were some ups and downs in the seminary, but I felt this consolation then that, okay, Lord, this is what you want me to do. And that was 26 years ago, and I'm still going on sharing, you know, the good news of Jesus Christ the best way I can.
Yeah, and taking your mom along with you, obviously, during this time. And I, you know, in the book, Father Burke has some great anecdotes of, especially of his girlfriend and what happened with that situation. And I'm not going to have you talk about that. People are going to have to go buy the book to find out. But it's an awesome story. But I want to move ahead now to you being a priest. 22 years, and you never got on the field as a Major League Baseball player, but you did get on the field as a Major League Baseball chaplain with the Chicago Cubs. So here you go, Father Burke. Your Major League Baseball dream did, in fact, come true.
It did. Yeah. So I was ordained a priest in 2002. And I thought I had given up my career in baseball, given up career in, you know, with my girlfriend, everything. I'm like, God, I've given up everything for you. And what's in it for me? And what I sense God was saying is just trust me. So 2013, I got a call from Ray McKenna, who we both know well. And he said, Father Burke, we hear that you played baseball and we need a Catholic chaplain for the Chicago Cubs. Mm-hmm. I'm like, that's awesome. I'm not a Cub fan. I have become a Cub fan. I always say I've had two major conversions in life, and the harder one was becoming a Cub fan. but I'm all in now. So Joe Madden, as you know, is the manager of the Cubs in 2016. And he said, he went to Catholic schools all the way through. He said, Father Burke, priests have impacted my life greatly. You have free reign here with the Cubs. In fact, do you want to practice with the team tomorrow? I said, are you serious? So the next day I'm on the field, full uniform. I'd become friends with Miguel Montero, and we're playing catch on the field down in Mesa, Arizona. Batting practice starts. And I go in the outfield, and I'm talking with Kyle Hendricks, one of the pitchers for the Cubs, who I think may be the only guy still on the Cubs from that 2016 team. And as we're talking, these tears start to roll down my face. And it was like, God, my first thought was, there's no crying in baseball, you know? And then my next thought was, it was like God was saying, Burke, this was your dream to be a Major League Baseball player. I remember that as a young boy. But now you're living my dream as a priest, and you get to do it in the major leagues. And it's as if God has shown me that when we're generous with the gifts and talents God has given us, and when we follow his call, his will for our lives, he doesn't take away what we love, but he takes it, blesses it, multiplies it, and gives it back to us in ways that we never imagined. And when I wrote my book, I thought, it almost seemed like somebody else's life because it's such an amazing story, but it's what God has done in my life. And I always say everybody out there has a story to tell. And when we give our lives over to God, it's an amazing journey.
Yeah, indeed. Let's to play Ron Meyer chatting today with Father Burke Masters, AKA the baseball priest. He's the author of the book, A Grand Slam for God. Now, Father Burke, you look at the world through a different set of lenses that I can't, and most people can't who aren't a priest. What, when you look through that lens, what can you share with us that inspires you about humanity and maybe some of the struggles as well?
Yeah, a couple important lessons I've learned in the way I view the world. One is I've come to understand that not only am I a beloved child of God, and that's groundbreaking, but that everybody else is as well. I used to think there are just like really bad people out there, but I think there's wounded people, that every person is a child of God, but we act out of our woundedness. And so I always try to see the best in other people, to try to see that, you know, that people are like a treasure chest. Sometimes they have a very hardened shell, but inside there's a treasure there. And as a priest, that's what I'm always looking for, is to say, how can I bring the love of God into their lives? And I see people where that outward shell starts to melt, and the beauty and the goodness of people start to shine through when they experience the love of God.
Now, there may be some young, both boys and girls listening to this show who want to be, who are competitive athletes. And maybe there's a mixed message out there in their environment or the world that they live in, that being competitive and being, have a life of faith are not compatible. What say you when you hear something like that?
Yeah, there is a kind of a prevailing thought out there, right? That faith in sports or competitiveness and faith are incompatible. But the truth is, and, you know, I remember this kind of sums it up. I remember going to my spiritual director one day and I said, is it okay to have ambition in the spiritual life? And he said, as long as all of your ambition is directed toward God, he said, the greatest saints had ambition, but it was to give honor and glory to God. Mm-hmm. And so he says, use that competitive nature that you have, use that drive that you have to do all for the glory of God, as St. Ignatius would say. And so that's always a great reminder for me that whenever I start to turn, you know, that glory inward and try to have people honor and glorify me, that's when I get into trouble. But when everything I have, the drive to do something great is directed toward the glory of God, that's when amazing things can really happen. And it really keeps me humble because I know it's not about me. It's about glorifying God in all that I say and do.
Well, some good words there. And Father Burke Masters has been our guest. And like I mentioned, he's the author of the book, A Grand Slam for God. And I'm telling you, folks, get the book. There's a number of anecdotes in there that we haven't talked about that will inspire you and just be a good story. And you could get the book on Amazon. You could also go to wordonfire.org. And it's also at fine bookstores everywhere. Well, Father Burke, thanks so much for the time today about sharing your journey. And it's been fun talking a little bit of baseball here on Blessed to Play. I thank you for joining us.
Yeah, it's been a pleasure for me too. God bless you, Ron, and to all your listeners.
Hey, Blessed to Play fans, check us out on the web at blessedtoplay.com. That's blessed, the number two, play.com. You can like us on Facebook. Hit us up on the platform X at Blessed to Play for Father Burke Masters. I'm Ron Meyer. We'll catch you next time right here on Blessed to Play.
You've been listening to Blessed to Play with host Ron Meyer on the EWTN Global Catholic Network. If you have a question or comment about today's show, feel free to email us at info@blessedtoplay.com. That's blessed, the number two, play.com. You can also connect with the show on the web at www.blessedtoplay.com. Again, that's blessed, the number two, play.com. Join us again next time for Blessed to Play on the EWTN Global Catholic Network.